Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to the Boss Hijabipreneur podcast. You know me, Halima here. This is episode 74, The Power of Collaboration. I am truly excited about today's guest. I'm excited about today's topic because you know we talk nothing but collaboration around these parts. So the power of collaboration, probably one of the biggest displays of the power of collaboration was during the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time and the time of the Sahabas. The companions of the Prophet worked together, pooled their resources and talents for the greater good and the advent and expansion of Islam. So today we are going to talk with our sister Jennifer, and she'll be sharing her tips and you know, just some of the ways that she has been able to grow her business through collaboration, her network, and ultimately how she's growing her net worth, both in the dunya and the akhirah, bi-idhnillah. So please welcome my sister and yours, Sister Jennifer Ogunyeme. She is the CEO of Sisters in Business. Jazakallah khair for being here. Jazakallah. Sister Jennifer, how are you?
It's always a pleasure. You know me and you, it's always a pleasure. Mashallah, tabarakallah. Jazakallah khair for having me.
Well, yeah.
The background looks funny. I'm in my girl's room.
Listen, we are loving it. Listen, my baby made the calendar behind you. So if you ever see it with little characters, listen, that was her doing. Listen, they're with us always.
Alhamdulillah.
So please tell our audience you know, a little bit more about you, about your business, what you do, and then any projects that you're working on, inshallah.
So a bit about me. As Sister Halima said, my name is Jennifer Ogunyemi and I am the founder and CEO of Sisters in Business. Sisters in Business is a network of other Muslim women where we collaborate, where we grow, inspire, motivate each other into growing our businesses. So alhamdulillah, it's been going for about 4 years now. We're coming up to our fifth year this year. Oh my goodness, 5 years this year. But before I go into Sisters in Business properly, I'm also a mum. I'm a mum of four children, alhamdulillah. And I feel like it's really important to say that, because before anything else, I am a mother, I am a wife, and then I am your entrepreneur. But alhamdulillah, you know, it's been a good journey. The biggest project that we're working on at the moment, so I think I'm super, super excited about, as it comes around once a year, is our awards. Our business awards, where we celebrate women who look like me, who look like you. We're not celebrated in any other platform medium in the way that we celebrate you. And that's our biggest project. So Sisters in Business, in effect, is a sisterhood. It's a network of business women where we first recognize you, as I said, as the mother, as the wife, and then we recognize you as the businesswoman in the rightful way, in the honorable way, and in the elevated way that we should.
Jazakallah khair for that, Jennifer. So just, I want you to tell them where your home is, but also, you know, some of the women, you know, where they're from that you're impacting, inshallah.
So if you haven't already told by the accent, I am English. I'm from London in the UK. And the women that we impact are all over the world, honestly. And I think COVID has really come to... If one thing came out of COVID, it would be that. It would be the fact that our international reach got a lot more bigger, a lot more wider. But all our events are based in the UK. But we have women from Uganda. We have women from Nigeria, Ghana, the Middle East. So alhamdulillah, our reach is quite big. That's something that we're quite proud of here. But yeah, I'm just a UK girl.
I love it. Well, we're loving the UK, hun. And I already told you, I love accents because it you know, it speaks to where you're from, where you've been, right? Because even if, okay, so say you're from, you know, the UK, but maybe you come from somewhere else, that accent is included. Like some people, when they talk to me, they're like, wait a minute, you know, where are you from? And I'm like, man, I've lived on 5 of the 7 continents, lived on or traveled to.
You know what? In saying that, yeah, I'm also an African girl. I'm from Nigeria. I love my culture. I love my traditions. So I'm an African girl. But in terms of where I live and where I've been brought up, it's definitely been the UK. And absolutely, I feel like, you know, as you said, Halima, you know, the more you travel, the more cultured you become, the more aware you become of other people's traditions and cultures. And that's when I truly, truly understood what Allah meant when he said in the Quran that we made you different so you can learn from each other. And subhanAllah, you know, coming from a particular place, but probably looking like I don't come from that place, has definitely taught me so much about, you know, about other people and how we live our lives.
I love it. Surah Hujurat, ayah 13. Love, 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 love. We created you in nations and tribes. Love that so much. And welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. And for all of you that are either watching us live or listening, please be sure to go ahead and follow Sister Jennifer. So she has two IG pages. You can follow her at Jennifer Ogunyemi, and you can also follow her business page, Sisters in Business. So go follow both of those pages, whether you're listening now or you listen later, inshallah. And speaking of, you know, social media, so we met you know, over IG, right? Yes. I don't even know how many years it's been
a couple of years now.
Yeah. pre-COVID we met each other, yeah. You know, over, and you know, just small conversations here, liking a post there, that kind of thing. And then we kind of really connected, I want to say, like, what is it, last year, year before, on Clubhouse.
Yes.
And, you know, moving and shaking and doing different things on Clubhouse, but we had quite a few conversations. We did a live right on my IG yes. page. Everybody loved it. So I was like, I've got to get her on the podcast, you know. And then I was in a space where it was like, what am I doing with the podcast? And, you know, how am I, you know, impacting women? And I went back to the original, which was, how am I serving the women? So of course, serving, I'm giving information, never stop doing that. But then how am I serving all of you, right? So, you know, it's my, you know, to me, I feel like it's each of our job to highlight another woman. It's right. It's our job to bring another woman into whatever space we are in. Mm-hmm. And so that's the direction. So in 2022, that was what, you know, last year I decided in 2022, that was the direction of the podcast. And so I pray that that is what I'm doing, but I want to be able to showcase and highlight more women doing the things that they do. So that goes into our, you know, topic today. So, you know, we talked about collaboration the last time we talked. So how is it, you know, so how is it that women feel that they are held back in their business? And why do you think that is? And how do we get past it? And where that question is coming from is that I hear a lot of women say, oh, the reason why I don't reach out to another sister, or I don't collaborate with another sister, she may steal my idea. Or, you know, if I partner with her, how does that set me apart? Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit about that? Like, because this is who you're dealing with directly, this particular you know, demographics. So tell us a little bit more about that, inshallah.
You know, subhanAllah, in the beginning, it was super difficult. And it was super difficult because, like you said, the mentality was, I don't want to talk about what I'm doing because other people are going to come and steal my idea. I don't want to talk about what I'm doing because I may not end up doing it. And, you know, subhanAllah, I think one thing about me is that I've always been this super open, transparent person, right? And I think this is why it was so easy for me to look into the community and say, actually, no, we need to change and we need to stop viewing each other as competition. Now, don't get me wrong. Healthy competition is always a good thing. But at the time, it wasn't healthy. It was destructive, not only to ourselves, but also to each other. And it was destructive because as an ummah, we had become economically active, meaning that we were not spending our money in the community to make it grow and thrive. So that's the level of destruction it was causing. How do we deal with it as in business? It took a long time, Halima, subhanAllah. I remember, you know, even Clubhouse days, and you talk about Clubhouse, like, you know, stepping into a room and other sisters feeling threatened by me and what I do. And I just was like, okay, we need to take a step back, because actually, this kind of behavior is a reflection of us on our own personal nafs, on our own personal character. It's a reflection on us. It's not necessarily a business thing. So what I want to do is that we do it. First of all, we nurture. So we nurture every single woman that comes to us, and we nurture her in the way that we understand that you have something that you want to protect, and rightfully, you should protect it. But secondly, also being open, transparent, and trusting would also allow your business to grow and thrive, because You are no longer this closed book. You no longer have that tunnel vision. You no longer feel threatened by opening up. And thirdly, do you know what? I forgot what I was going to say. Typical day. But, you know, thirdly, it's also about, you know, within that nurturing space, it's also about giving the woman time. Time to open up. Because although I wanted to create a change and I wanted to do something different, I also knew that I couldn't undo years and years of this kind of mentality in one day, 2 days, 1 year, 2 years. It wasn't going to happen like that. And so that's really, you know, the way that we tackle it. After we nurture, we then move into the phase of mentality. So what can I do within the community that will help you change your mentality towards another woman or another sister? And you know something that's striking? I found that this competitiveness actually was directed towards other Muslim sisters, not necessarily towards other women of faith, other women that practice other faiths, or just another woman in general. It wasn't usually directed to them. It was usually directed to those who are from the same community as you. And so we give them time and we educate. We educate, we socialize, but also we celebrate. Because when you do all those three things together, it definitely makes a difference in the mindset, because now you're feeling like you're belonging to a community that truly gets you and understands you. I hope that answered the question.
You sure did, my sister, you know, and, you know, ripples just running, you know, on my arms, because, you know, we have had our own individually, we've had our own individual, you know, encounters, you know, with, you know, the cattiness, right? Yeah. And, you know, together, you know, so just even us, you know, being on a platform together, like, wait a minute, relax, you know what I mean? Like, even come from, you know, that direction. But one of the things that came to my mind was not understanding abundance. And, you know, I love that you gave the example that it's not directed towards other women that are in the space. It's specifically directed to Muslim women. And I think that we forget that we are almost 2 billion strong, if not already, right? So we need a new census or something to take, you know, take a new count. You know, of, you know, how many Muslims there actually are in the world, because we're 2 billion strong. I'm just going to round up. We're 2 billion strong. You know, that is a quarter of, you know, the people that are in the world. So why do we feel like we have to have this cattiness and there's not enough to go around for everybody? And I think that's a portion of it. I also think, you know, I did a live not too long ago. You would surely appreciate this. And basically, it was an email that I received. And basically, this particular sister, I believe she was, at, you know, either Black or African-American, specifically just because of the language that was used. I don't know the sister at all. The email or anything. I don't know the sister. And basically attacked, you know, the fact that, you know, I was talking about abundance and talking about my time in corporate America and, you know, talking about how I wanted to pivot from corporate America and move over into the Muslim space to help, you know, more Muslim women either move into the corporate space or to move into just that entrepreneurial mindset. And that's what I was helping women with. And how dare me continue to share this, you know, story. And of course, you know, the first reaction is, you know what I mean? Okay. Okay. The head roll and everything. And then I took a step back and I took a page from your book. And the page from your book was that, wait a minute, you know, why is this sister saying this? And it goes to that nurturing that you were talking about. Sister needed a hug more than she needed for me to attack her back. Absolutely. That sister needed a hug. That sister needed more information, right, to understand where I was coming from, you know, and that sister didn't know me and truly didn't know my story. Right. You know what I mean? Okay, I was thriving in corporate America, but I had no connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of that worldly everything that was beautiful, you know, on the outside, but on the inside, I was done. Right. On the inside, no connection whatsoever to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, you know, to do that, you know, 180, right? And you know, alhamdulillah, connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then say, okay, I have this skill. How do I find, you know, that middle ground. So it leads me to my next question, which is, how can we stop the caddy competition and help to build the collective through collaboration? And you started to tell what you're doing with Sisters in Business, but are there like some steps specifically to address, you know, the caddy competition, so to speak?
Yeah. And, you know, I love that example that you use, Halima, because it's one that is prevalent all the time. Constantly. And, you know, when we sit and we think about it, you know, what has led her to come to this mindset? What has led her to believe that she should be the only one doing what she's doing? And again, it's come from the constant breakdown that we have as women from society. The constant breaking down that we've been getting about our deen, about hijab, the way we dress, the way we look. We're constantly being attacked for it, right? Now, whilst you're constantly being attacked for it, what is it doing? It's breaking down your confidence. It's breaking down your self-esteem. It's breaking down your self-worth. The three things that we know as Muslim women that Allah has come to give us to elevate us above every other woman. So when you think of it like that, you're absolutely right. What is it that's causing you to think and behave like this? And as you said, Halima, sometimes it is just about looking at somebody and saying, well, actually, sis, I think you need a hug. But most importantly, before you recognize it, she needs to recognize it and open up self-compassion for herself. It's okay if other people are doing what I'm doing. It's okay if another sister is talking about what I'm talking about. It's okay. As we all know, risk is only from Allah. So if two people decide to do the same business, what Allah has already said is coming for you will come for you. And what Allah said will pass you will pass you. And this is what we forget. And this is why I love being a Muslim businesswoman, because actually, Allah has already told me and shown me the ways and the things that I can do to make sure that I don't have this destructive mindset. So, like you said, it's about the nurturing. Secondly, sisters, you need to educate yourself on the power of collaboration, the power of just sitting next to another sister, holding her, and knowing that you hold space for each other. There's so much power in that. Recognizing that what you're weak at is what she's strong at, and how can I tap into that to make me stronger? And vice versa. What can I give her to make her stronger? So again, what is it that we're doing? What are we consuming? What are we saying? These are all very, very important things. And for me, this whole self-love, self-care thing came and it became destructive. Because it became destructive, why? Because actually people took it to the extreme and saw self-care, self-love as something selfish that they cannot pour into others. Others cannot pour into you. So therefore, you've got to be in all by yourself. And people started to, you know, translate that into business, into everyday life. Hence why we see a lot of isolation now. Another thing I want to mention also is when someone comes to that mindset, it could simply be because she has no one else that she can speak to about what it is that she's doing. Now, when that happens, you become protective. You become protective because you're in this mode of, I'm only talking to myself. I get what I know. I get what I want. I know exactly where I want to be. And so in that, you then start to see competitiveness. If you see someone else doing something, that's it. I've got to quickly get on it too. So what is it? It's nurture, like you said. It's educating, holding a space for yourself first before you let other people hold a space for you. And also just looking to your right and to the left of you and understand that the way that you're struggling in business or struggling whatever aspects of life it is, that sister beside you is also going through the same struggle. So what can you do to make her stronger and what can she do to make you stronger? And I truly believe that when we start to look at things like this is when you let go and you're able to say, okay, do you know what? I'm open to collaborate. I'm open to other people hearing what I'm doing. When I talk to sisters that are doing their businesses, the first thing I say to them is that if you want me to sign an NDA, I'm more than happy to do that. Because if it's going to give you the peace of mind, although in every coaching session that I do, I always start off by saying, whatever you tell me is an amana, it's a trust from Allah. And I cannot go and share that business idea with anyone. So inshallah is about reframing and looking at, you know, how are we operating with each other, but also within ourselves? How am I operating within myself that can make a difference to me seeing other people's competition?
Listen, hit it, sis. Listen, you know what I love? Amana. Mm-hmm. Like, it goes back to our integrity, goes back to our morals. It goes back to who we are. Yes. So like, you know, when someone is attacking, you know, it's they're attacking possibly, you know, what they're not doing themselves, right? Yes. So they're not attacking you. They're mm-hmm. attacking, man, I want to be like that. What is it called? What is it? The good jealousy in Islam. There's good jealousy. Yeah, I can't remember the word, but anyway, I'm gonna remember that word. But good, there's a good such thing as a good jealousy in Islam, right? And it's the sister, you know, she's doing XYZ, and man, I want to be like her. Yeah. That's good jealousy. Then yeah. there's the jealousy of, you know, I want that sister's doing this, and you know, who does she think?
Get her. Good jealousy, yeah. I just googled it while you were talking. I was like,
I love it. Good, that kind of jealousy,
right?
Rira, right? Good jealousy, which means, hey, Jennifer Ogunyeme, Sisters in Business, founder and CEO. I love what you're doing. You know, over with the sisters. I love the awards program. I love how you've grown your network. I love how you've grown everything, and I can't wait to see what you do next. Rira,
not.
Mm-hmm. Like and you know, like, it's like even Jennifer and I being on this podcast together or doing the live, or we were on Clubhouse together, people be like, well, wait a minute, you know, they have a similar, you know, goal that they have. I can never do what Jennifer is doing, and Jennifer can never do with what I'm doing.
Got Halima sauce. Let's get that right, because Halima's got a sauce, mashallah. I don't have that sauce. And that's the thing that I say to myself all the time, Halima, is the fact that actually, you know, my best example that I use is bread. When you go into the store, supermarket, what we call here, how many different brands of bread do you see on the shop floor? But yet, you know the brand that you want to go and buy from and use, and that's all right, because those other brands aren't trying to fight over you. Right? And it's the exact same thing. When you see other people doing what they're doing, just understand that the business is what they made it. It's not about what they were selling or what they're putting together. It's about what they made it. So when you view it from that point of view, when you want to come in with yours or you're doing yours, ask yourself the question, what am I doing to make what I'm doing unique? What's your USP, your unique selling point? What makes you different? What makes you stand out? All of these things is what determines people's success. It isn't about what they've built. People get it wrong all the time, Halima. You know, people ask you, oh, you know, how are you successful in what you're doing? Don't ask me what I've done. Ask me what was going up here when I was doing it, because that's where the success is. Ask me about how I'm able to stand in front of a camera and be confident. Ask me, because that's where the success is. The success is not in what you're doing. It has a part to play, but the big success comes from you being different. So every time you see someone and you want to feel a bit irked or a bit moved by what someone's doing in a not a good way, remind yourself of the bread. Remind yourself of McDonald's, Burger King, KFC. Remind yourself of all of those things, because at the end of the day, everybody has their favorite. Everybody will gravitate to what they resonate with. And that's what the importance in business is. And that's how collaboration can then become a thing.
Agreed. And you know what? Something that I want to say, don't think that those bread makers or the, you know, the fast food chains, that they don't have meetings and meet together. Don't think that. See, you think that they're not in collaborating. They absolutely are. You know, Pepsi, Coca-Cola, whatever. Don't think that these businesses are not talking to each other. Right. When you see mergers happen, how did those mergers happen? It wasn't just one day I woke up today and all of a sudden, oh, this merger. No, things were going on in the background. Yes. You know, if you see, you know, Jennifer and I do something later, there's a I think it's 4 years, 3 years, 4 year relationship that comes from behind that. And,
right.
you know, finally said, you know what, this is the right time to do X, Y, and Z, but don't think that, that it was something that, oh, magically, you know, overnight. Okay, well, let's do this together. No, there's a relationship that was built. And there's, is this the right time to do this? Is this the, you know, right time to do this? So, you know, I love, you know, the example that you just shared. And that's one of my favorite examples is bread. Mike, there has, in our supermarket, there has, it has to be at least 30 brands of bread. It takes up almost, in my local supermarket, it takes up almost a whole aisle, just the bread section. It's the perfect example. Bread, milk, all of those things. No one is looking to the right or the left. They're just making the bread that they want to make.
Yeah.
8 billion people. Again, we're going back to 8 billion people on the planet.
Yeah.
A bread is only, you know, type of a brand is only for a specific amount of people.
Right.
Enough to
there's enough bread for everyone. Absolutely.
Inshallah. So do you feel women go farther when they work together? Why or why not? I already know the answer to this. But
yeah, of course. You know already. But yeah, of course they do. Why? Because our deen is based on sisterhood. Our deen is based on community. So when you look at the examples from the Sahabas and the Sahabiyats, even you look at the examples of the prophets, may Allah be pleased with all of them, you see that there's always the basis of sisterhood and brotherhood that's rooted into that. So when you look at that, you know already that there's success in that. How does it look different for us now? It looks different for us now because we're living in communities where we can't be quite far and wide from each other. But that's why, you know what, let me use another example of the non-Muslim community. Hence why they talk about community all the time. Hence why they're creating all these different communities for themselves, because now they understand the power in sisterhood and brotherhood. So absolutely, the more we stick together, the further that we can go. And why is that? Because women, we're nurturers, we're compassionate, we're builders, we're the ones that are the educators. So when you come together as a collective, you only strengthen all of those attributes that you have in yourself with each other. So, of course, I personally believe anyway that the more you stick together, especially as women, especially as sisters in Islam, the further we'll be able to get.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. You know, I love that we're talking in the vein of the Sahaba and the Sahabiyat, because really we can go back to the Quran, right? Mm-hmm. We don't have to look too far. You know, as Muslim women in business, sisters in business, we don't have to look far to be able to find examples. We don't have to look far to be able to give us the blueprint. So some of us are looking at the blueprint. How do I do this? Go read Surah Baqarah.
That's it.
You want to know how to do something in business? Go read Surah Baqarah.
Yeah. That's it.
You can read that.
It's funny because, you know, it's funny because I've always said this. I said the reason why we are so successful as Muslim businesswomen is because we have books. We have the texts, we have the examples on how to conduct business, how to conduct business with others, how to conduct this business with non-Muslims and Muslims alike. We have it all there. So when you're looking to create a unique customer experience, is those books you need to go back to. Respectfully to the people of Gary V's and all of these people, respectfully, right? I'm not trying to, you know, put anyone in it, but actually I don't need to listen to any of them because I already have the knowledge there. But because we have been nurtured to only take from people who are experts, people who are already done it and successful, we neglect the words of what Allah has said and the words that he has given to us that is in all our homes, probably on the bookshelf somewhere collecting dust, but it's there. You need to go back and educate yourself on those things, inshallah.
Beautiful, mashallah, tabarakallah. Listen, let me tell you, you're giving them the dawah, sis, okay? I love it, I love it, I love it. So, question. If a woman never gets to meet you in person and only ever hears you on this podcast episode, what is a tip you would like to give her? And you can give as many as you like, but you can keep it to one if you like to.
So for me, the tip that I would give her is to hold your head up. It's a tip I say all the time. Hold your head up, sis. And the reason why I say hold your head up is because, first of all, just you being a Muslim woman is enough to show you that you are worthy of that business that you want to build, of that relationship that you want to nurture. You're worthy of it. The more we shy away and the more we consume the things that are not right for us is when we find ourselves in these problems of hasad, of when we find these problems of ayn, where we see these issues that, you know, that people are going through that we never had in our community before, that is coming up now because of these things. Hold your head up. Every time you present yourself as a Muslim woman, you know that you are being trodden on from the outside. So, sis, you have to keep yourself elevated from the inside. It's super important, because the more you keep yourself elevated from the inside is when you're able to hold space for other sisters who haven't got to that point yet. So hold your head up. It's hard, we know. It's difficult, we know. But your reward, number one, is only with Allah. The elevation that Allah will give you, the honor that Allah will give you in that moment is only from Allah. And the success of whatever it is that you want to do is also only from Allah. It's not from anywhere else. So hold your head up, sis. Sometimes you will feel unmotivated. Sometimes you won't feel productive, but that's all part of the journey. We're not supposed to be perfect. We're not supposed to be, you know, these super women that people like to call us. We're not super women. We're normal people. So hold your head up, sis. And look for your community. Look for the people that will hold you and you can hold them. Because they're there. It's just that you're not seeking it. So just hold your head up.
MashaAllah, I was just getting ready to say that, you know, community, right? So surrounding yourself with, you know, people that give you that, you know, push, that inspiration, you know, that share, you know, we say like-hearted, right? So, you know, it may not always look the same, right? So when you say like-minded, sometimes it's like, but, you know, like-hearted, right? So it may not necessarily look like you, but, you know, they have the same goals, inshallah, in mind. And so, you know, finding that community, going over to pages like Sisters in Business or to Jennifer's personal page, someone said, alhamdulillah, in the audience, mashallah. Yes, wayaki. And so, you know, finding that community. So heading over to the Sisters in Business page, she's available on IG. Jennifer has her personal pages both here on Facebook and on IG. So make sure you connect with her. And making sure the people that you are surrounding yourself with feels good. I want to go back just a tick before I ask you the next question. And I remember back in the day, this was a long time ago, probably like 10 years ago, I used to watch like the housewives shows, like Housewives or whatever. And that right there was a perfect display of competition. Like, this woman is my competition. And I stopped watching that show for that reason, because I didn't want to have that. I was like, but I don't dislike her. I think she's cool. Or I like the way she wears, you know, her hair or, you know, whatever, her clothes, whatever. I want to compliment women. I don't want to feel that feeling. And so sometimes what we're ingesting, we think that it's innocent, but it isn't. So what you watch on TV, your social media, you know, what the pages that you're following, etc., start to unfollow those pages that make you feel a certain type of way on inside. You're getting more, less benefit than you are a benefit. Start to unfollow those pages. Snooze them. If you don't want to unfollow, they have the feature now. You can snooze a page. Go ahead and snooze it. When you snooze it, let me know how you feel after 30 days. You might unfollow that page.
Absolutely. And you know, Halima, it's funny you're saying that, because that is something that I done. I had to go back and unfollow pages. I didn't even mute them. I unfollowed them. Why? Because I spent a large chunk of my years battling what I look like. Body dysmorphia was a thing for me. You know, seeing myself in a light that nobody else saw me in. And so being on social media was a testing time. It was a testing time, especially when you see my personal page. I've gone from doing all sorts. I've gone from sharing everything to sharing the family to not sharing it. Now I'm just like, I'm in the space of actually, I just want to share my thoughts. Because my thoughts weigh much heavier. They hit a lot harder than me trying to show you something that I'm probably not. So even what we're putting out on our personal pages also affects how we feel. And I had to do it. And, you know, some people will be like, oh, she unfollowed me. But you know what, sis, it's not about that. It's about my mental health. It's about my emotional well-being too. So if you took it personally, then you really don't understand who I am and what I'm trying to do. So it's really, really important, just like you said, Halima, that, you know, unfollow the pages that you feel like are really, really not giving you the goodness, that are not giving you the khair, the beneficial things. Sometimes, alhamdulillah, you just want downtime, you just want to scroll. But guess what I do? I'll just scroll through the explore page. I don't need to explore and scroll through my feed to see that. I scroll through the explore page. So I really, really love that point, because it's something that, you know, when you get to a certain point and, you know, certain space, you know, one thing that I remember that sticks out in my head so hard, whatever you tolerate will dominate you. The more you tolerate is what you will become. And it was from that I decided unfollow. This unfollow finger is real strong. Unfollow.
Listen, sis, I am over here. Listen, I had to mute myself because I was over here like, But, you know, I want to take us in this vein just for a short second. It resonates. What you said resonated with how I've been feeling this past week, and I have to talk about it. So, there have been in my news feed, and I'm not a person who watches the news because I just can't take that constant, downtrodden news all day long. Yeah. So I don't watch the news. But when I do, you know, it's to make sure that I know what's going on in the world. And I believe she's Miss USA. Yes. And Chesley, did you hear that news over there? Mm-hmm. Okay. So the initial news is that she committed suicide this past week. You know, they're still investigating, but we're going to address this from the suicide, you know, if it is indeed a suicide. I was following this woman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to me, you know, she just had a positive page and, you know, there was fashion, there was, you know, just this quirky personality and everything like that. And you talked about body dysmorphia, you talked about these different things. Allah knows best what was going on with her, but I'm going to talk about, you know, instances where we're seeing someone and they're bubbly and everything looks like amazing that's going on. And then they commit suicide.
Yeah.
And it's like, we missed it. You know what I mean? We didn't check in on this person. We didn't see any signs or anything like that. And part of it is this social media world. Part of it is this, what you're talking about, nurturing and really listening, right? And really, and sometimes listening is not necessarily what she says. It's listening for what she doesn't say.
Yeah.
Right? You know, like, okay, sis, your business is great. You're doing great. All that kind of stuff. But how are you doing?
Right.
Asking those type of questions. Right. So for me, you know, what advice, you know, can we give, you know, maybe this episode, and I don't know why this is so heavy, but while you were talking, it came up twice to Halima, say, talk about Miss USA.
Yeah. Wallahi.
And so I'm talking about it.
Yeah.
How this is going to play out, I don't know, because this wasn't a planned anything.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts? You saw it. What are your thoughts? And what advice can you give to someone who may be going on social media and feel like they have to put on to get the clients or put on to get followers or whatever the case may be? Please, what advice do you have, inshallah?
So, you know, subhanAllah, when I heard the news of Miss USA, as shocking as it was, I wasn't shocked. Why wasn't I shocked? Because once again, we become so wrapped up in what we see on social media that we miss everything else that could be going on. Now, I wasn't following her. And I never really knew about her until it was Miss USA. I think when she won it, it wasn't big news here, but I just didn't hear about it. And the one thing that stuck out in my mind was What could have been so bad that she had to take her life? Sis, this was happening before she even won Miss USA. This was happening before she even probably was running for Miss USA. Mental health starts to deteriorate, however slowly or however fast it is, from maybe a little while back. And I say that personally because, subhanAllah, I also have a friend who I'm supporting at the moment that is, going through this. And one thing that we miss all the time, Halima, is when we ask people, how are you? You can tell if they're answering from here or from here. And that's when I ask people, how are you? I listen to the things that they're not saying. I look out for the breath work that they're doing that they don't know that they're doing, because that's where you will pick up something is not quite right. Allah gave us 2 ears to listen twice and one mouth to talk once. And that's exactly how we should be practicing it. What a lot of people don't realize is when someone is about to download something to you, your mouth starts going, you start talking. It's not your fault. It's just what we've been programmed to do. When people are talking, you want to counteract. But actually, just take a moment and listen. And one thing that I'm super, super aware of is when I ask someone, how are you? That deep breath that they take initially will tell me exactly how you're doing, even if you wanted to say so otherwise. So what are some of the things that we could do to protect ourselves? First of all, we're Muslims. Du'as and adhkars. May Allah protect us. May Allah forgive us. May Allah make sure that everything we do is only for His sake. Number two, mental health is real. It is not only for one community or the other community. Mental health is real. So taking it just as seriously as you take anything else is super important. And number three, always hold space for each other. Holding space for each other is what we are only, what is what we're known to do. As I said to you in the beginning, I'm from Nigeria. We live in communities. You have a baby, auntie next door is going to be in your house. This auntie from down the road is cooking for you. That auntie's taking your other children. We are only known to be from communities. So when we're thrown into communities of isolation, we don't thrive very well. But this is why our sisterhood goes beyond that. Because even if I lived 2 hours away from you, I'm going to drive those 2 hours because I know I'm filling your cup and you're also filling my cup. I know that those 2 hours that I'm taking time out to listen is also the 2 hours that you hear yourself in the moment that you're in. Yes, we can do the self-love and self-care, but that's not enough. That's not what we are built on. As I mentioned to you before, self-care, self-love for me, the way that it's gone is selfishness. Don't let no one in. You can't go this. You shouldn't do that. Cut this person. Toxic. No, it's not. That's not what it's about. Having self-love and self-care is about nurturing each other, holding each other in spaces, but also listening twice and talking once. So when you're scrolling your feed and you're feeling like these things are affecting you, sis, it's time to take a break. It's time to turn it off. It's time to unfollow. When you're trying to emulate these bloggers and all of these things, take a minute to ask yourself, is what she portraying really the real deal in her life right now? Because a lot of us like to show the good things, but not many of us will show what the bad things are. If I take it back to business, when I was first starting Sisters in Biz, no one saw the sleepless nights. No one saw the breastfeeding baby on my shoulder all the time. No one saw how I was, how I was trying to do the school run and trying to do this and sacrifice it. Even now, just last year, Halima, my baby, she's 4. During the December period in the UK, it tends to be really quiet. But for some reason, subhanAllah, it was really busy for me. Speaking engagements, all of these things. And every night my baby cried. She cried and cried and cried. And she cried because she missed mum. So she'd wake up in the middle of the night, she'd be searching for me. She'll come, I want to give you a hug. I want to be near you. It was at that moment I said, you know what? When January comes, it's not everything I have to say yes to. So being self-aware is also super important, inshallah. And just know that you're enough. You are enough, sis. There is nothing anybody can do, take, say. There's nothing that they can do to take it away from you. You are enough. The way you speak is enough. The way you look is enough. You do not need to be added to. You do not need to be taken away from. When you truly understand who you are, the capabilities, the abilities that Allah has given you, it's only then you will understand that you yourself, you're enough. People always ask me, being enough means that it doesn't mean you have to have confidence. And for me, my definition of confidence is simple. Believing in yourself, your abilities, and your qualities. That's what confidence is to me. And why is it that? Because it means if I have belief in these three things for myself, it means I also have the belief and trust in Allah, because Allah has given me those skills and qualities to be able to be the person that I am. So you are enough. We can have empathy and we can sympathize, but also know that it shouldn't take away from you as well. We're just enough, sis. We are just enough.
SubhanAllah, you said a mouthful, and I pray that helps someone out there, because, you know, there used to be, you know, this thing back in the day that, you know, not in the Muslim community.
Right.
Or no, that would never happen to a Muslim. And I don't know why that came up for me. You know, so Jazakallah khair for saying what you said, that brought up that thing in me that, you know, allowed you to go, you know, on the, you know, the path that you went. And I pray that it helps, you know, someone. We never know how it's going to impact someone. So bismillah, you know, on that. But you are definitely enough. And, you know, as you said, having, you know, I love that you said this, and I really want to say this, and then we're going to move on. But, you know, it's like me when I was returning to Islam. You know, a lot of people think, oh, you know, tawakkul Allah, you know, you had to have, you know, this faith in Allah. And it was like, I wasn't even at a level where I even trusted Allah. So that you talked about that confidence, I had to develop that confidence, that faith, that belief in myself first. Mm-hmm. And then it was like working backwards and saying, okay, well, who created me, right? Mm-hmm. And then it was like Allah, right? Yeah. And, you know, it may seem, you know, bad to say or weird to say, like, astaghfirullah, Halima. But I wasn't practicing. I didn't have that, you know, clarity of mind. Yeah. I didn't have that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I had to develop that belief, as you said, that confidence first in Halima. And then, oh, who created Halima?
Right.
Allah. And so now that belief transfers. And of course, now Allah is paramount. And then Absolutely. Me, you know, I can't do anything with. I'm not even talking right now without him. Right. So we first, you know, bismillah before I speak, because it's only by the permission of Allah that I'm even here. Right. All of us are here. So jazakallah khair for saying that. And so, speaking of Allah, is there a quote, an ayah or hadith that governs your life right now? And you've talked a little bit about seasons and how right now, you know, it's letting people know your thoughts. So I believe that, you know, the ayah or the hadith that inspires us changes over time. So please share with us, inshallah.
And this one is something that I have been pondering over for a long, long time, Halima. For a long, long time. And that is because in October, October, I went through something, I went for a health issue and I was in pain. Physical pain, yes, but I was in pain. I was in emotional pain. I was in religious pain. I was in pain. And I remember in Salah, just in my mind, crying, and just saying, Ya Allah, I just need help. Just help me. This pain that I'm feeling, yes, is valid, but this pain I'm feeling, I can't get it to move. So in my salah, I finished my salah and I sat on the floor, opened the Quran, and what stuck out to me? What stuck out to me was, and I'm trying to remember it word for word, subhanAllah, but I'm going to summarize it. Walk to me and I will run to you. Walk to me and I will run to you. When I sat down and I thought about that ayat, and I was like, walk to me and I will run to you. Walk to me and I will run to you. And what that was saying to me was, no matter what the situation is, no matter how much you're hurting, no matter how much pain that you're in, you should never, ever, ever remain stagnant. You should always be moving towards Allah. Because with every step I take, no matter how slow it is, no matter how painful it is, Allah is running to me. And that ayat is what I've been living by. It's been the quote of all my coaching sessions with all the sisters that I coach. Because it stuck out to me. And it stuck out to me. Why? Because as women, when we feel pain, we shut down. As women, when we feel pain, we stand still. But standing still means that you're creating more pain. You're not able to move. So remaining stagnant is not an option. Keep moving and the pain will slowly get better. And that ayah is something that I have, that has literally changed my mindset. People see it reflected in my personal social media because I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to do it. But that ayah reminded me that no matter what, I must keep walking.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. May Allah, you know, bless you and increase you for sharing that. You know, take one step towards me and I will take 10 steps, you know, towards you. We've used that particular, you know, you can find it in a hadith too, that take one step towards me and I'll take 10 steps towards you. We've used that hadith for sure on this, podcast. But, you know, how beautiful. You know, mashallah. And I feel like, you know, we had Brother Musa on a couple of episodes ago, and he talked about, you know, how we can, how, you know, when we, like you're saying, like, you know, take one step, you know, Allah, you know, take one step towards me, Allah takes, you know, 10 steps towards you, and just being mindful, you know, of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and just, you know, just so beautiful. You know, you can't make this stuff up, you know, how the information from each episode, you know, comes over. So the final question of the episode is, inshallah, what does it mean to you to be a boss hijabipreneur?
Oh, gosh, what does it mean to me? Listen, it means that I'm showing up unapologetically. It means I'm showing up as Jennifer. I'm showing up as a mother, as a wife, you know, as a friend, as a sister. But it also means that I'm speaking my truth. It also means that I will not be disempowered in any moment that someone tries to do that to me, because my power is in me. I hold my power, and my power comes from my deen. So to me, showing up unapologetically, authentically, and also understanding that the state in which I'm showing up in is an elevated one, and that's what makes me a boss hijabi, mashallah, tabarakallah. And let me tell you, I love, it's a vibe being a Muslim. I say it all the time, I'm like, it's a vibe being Muslim. It really is a vibe being Muslim. And I, you know, I thrive within my community, I thrive with my friends and my family because of Islam. So yeah, that's what it means to me.
Mashallah, you know, I feel it gives us permission to be ourselves. right? You know, we look to the world, you know, I know I did, you know, I look to the world, you know, for validation and, you know, look at me and that kind of thing. And in coming back to Islam, I didn't need any of the worldly validation because Allah already validated me so many different ways. SubhanAllah. And we both, you know, serve, you know, the women, right?
Yes.
And you know, Allah gave us validation already, you know. Yeah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he already, you know, he gave us all of the permission and the validation that we
honestly
need,
you know, it's funny because the other night my children were I play stories every night before they go to bed, and one of the stories that we were listening to was about Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her, and you know, just listening to her story just sends so much chills down my spine, because I'm like, how many of us, with what we do and how we do it, how many of us are confident in that? How many of us show up unapologetically in that? How many of us show up strong in that, no matter what that looks like for you? But how many of us do it? How many of us can be the feminine to the masculine? Something I've been going on, this massive journey for me, this whole feminine journey, right? But how can we be the feminine to the masculine? How can my masculine turn up when it needs to turn up? And her story reminded me of all those moments, of her strength, her resilience, her wealth, her situation. It reminded me of all of that. And that's why I always say, when we're talking about Islam and we're talking about business and we're just talking about women in general, the mothers of the believers were the greatest of examples for everything. I don't need to find out about X blogger. I don't need to know what the story is about that. I don't need to. I've got the mothers of the believers, alhamdulillah. You know, and when we truly keep reminding ourselves of these things, it's only when you start to see a shift and a change. Now, don't get me wrong, this is 5 years into that. I'm 5 years into that. If you're just starting, alhamdulillah that you've started. And if you haven't started, take this as a sign for you to start. So, jazakallah khair.
Wayaki Habibti, and Jazakallah khair to you for the wisdom that you have shared, for the wisdom that you share, you know, on your Instagram, just, you know, everywhere you are in the room, you know, anywhere, anytime you're in a room, whether virtual or in person, you know, you're bringing nur, you're bringing light, right? And you're bringing your faith with you. You're bringing you know, Jennifer, you know, with you. No one can be you. And, you know, Jennifer, you have made that clear. No one is you. And that is your superpower. I know we see that meme floating around, but truly, Sister Jennifer is the embodiment of that. No one can be you. And, you know, you never know how successful you are going to be. I'm sure you can attest to this. When I started, you know, I'm in my fifth year going on six, right? And I didn't know that BUNHD was going to become what it has become. I had a whole different idea, but Allah was like, nah.
Absolutely. I say it all the time. Like, actually, what Sisters in Business, what I thought it would be, is not what it is. Yeah. And I always think back, and I am so grateful to Allah for what I've built and how I've built it. But actually, the lessons were not for anyone, they were for me. Because I used to be the person that used to shut down opportunities. I used to be the person to close doors until I realized that actually the door that I shut yesterday was the one that was about to be opened tomorrow. The opportunity that I let go of yesterday was about to be the opportunity of a lifetime. And so when I saw the self-sabotaging moments happening, I actually said to myself, like, no, this is not why Allah chose you to become Muslim. This is not why. Allah chose you to become Muslim so that you can open every door, so that you can take on every opportunity. And this is why Sisters in Business is where it is today. So I completely agree with you, Halima. I never intended for it to be like this, but alhamdulillah that it is like this, because the lessons are not for anyone but for me. And that's how I've been able to learn and grow within this process.
Mashallah. And you've been sent to impact the women that you've been sent to impact. Mm-hmm. Right. And you have to rise to the occasion in order for you to impact them. And then bi-ibnillah, may it count heavily on your scales on yawm al-qiyamah. May it count heavily on your scales. Everything good that stems from what you enact by doing just the first thing, inshallah. So jazakallah khair for being here. Before you head out, please let us know how they can connect with you. Tell us, you know, when the awards program is going to be. How does all that happen? Where can they connect with you, inshallah?
So where can you connect with me? First of all, you can connect with me right here on Facebook as Jennifer Ogunyemi, on Instagram, sisters.inbusiness, sisters.in.business on Instagram, Twitter. You can also find us, but most importantly, find us on our website, www.sistersinbusiness.co.uk. I'm only a DM away. I'm only an email away, inshallah. Don't let no one fool you. I am your biggest cheerleader, right? Alhamdulillah, I'm definitely that. But yeah, please do connect with us. Our rewards that we have going on is currently only UK based, inshallah. But my team is going to scream if they hear this, but we're about to open internationally virtually very, very soon as well, inshallah, so that we can get to celebrate sisters from all over the world. And that will be done virtually, inshallah, until one day Allah gives me the permission to be able to visit the countries that you're in, and then we can be in real life, inshallah. But may Allah bless you, Halima, for bringing me on. May Allah continue to elevate you and honor you and give you honor in the things that you do as well. And jazakallah khair to anyone that is listening right now, that's taken out your time to listen to me this evening, or evening here for me, or daytime, afternoon for wherever you are. It's truly, truly an honor to be on here once again with Sister Halima, mashallah, tabarakallah.
Jazakallah khair, Habibti. The pleasure and honor is all mine. So jazakallah khair, Habibti. And I am going to take us on out of here with the inspirational quote of the week, and just a heads up for the next episode, inshallah. So jazakallah khair, Sister Jennifer. So my inspirational quote of the week, on the authority of Abu Hamza, Anas bin Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, or radiyallahu anhu. The servant of the Messenger of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, none of you will believe until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. And that can be found in Bukhari and Muslim. Join me next time for episode 75, letting go of your ego and get results. We'll talk to you soon, inshallah. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.